welcome to IT Bloopers. I'm Alex Howard.
I'm Hannah Drake.
I'm Mimi Ye.
And we're bringing you the funniest stories from around the server room and the net. These bloopers all come from you, our audience. After you listen to the show, please submit your own true IT bloopers to editor@whatis.com or go to trueitbloopers.blogspot.com and record them there. Our first blooper comes from Hannah.
It doesn't just take a poor economy to lighten employee payrolls. A mistake can send the best IT workers into the land of the unemployed. This blooper comes from an IT bro who watched a colleague seal his pink slip fate. We'll call the correspondent Alfie. Alfie works for a large company that a few months ago started to prepare to migrate to a new network protocol, moving from DECnet to NetBIOS. The company created an IT task force to develop a migration plan. The head of the IT department selected a project leader but did not issue a deadline, and the project leader did not press for a deadline. Two people failing to communicate about goals for a huge project is not good. It was only a matter of time before they clashed. Being a thorough fellow, the project leader wanted to create a network testing lab that included, quote, every configuration in the company, unquote. To that end, the task force leader ordered an audit of all the company's IT equipment to ensure the test lab mimicked the live network. Fellow IT staffers were stunned by the order because audits are tedious and can drag on and on, as you all know. They knew they'd be working on the project for a very long time. At the next monthly staff meeting, the task force leader was asked when the action plan would be ready for evaluation. He said he was far from starting on the action plan because the lab was not yet finished. When supervisors asked the project leader how soon they could review an action plan, the leader said it'd be ready in, 5 to 6 months.
Whatever happened to lowered expectations?
Seriously. The room fell silent. It was a stunned silence. Undoubtedly, many in the room were thinking, are you kidding me? The guy took action of his own. He chose a new project leader. Wisely, the new leader presented an action plan 3 weeks later. The first project leader was never seen in the building again.
Bum, bum, bum.
So be careful.
Beware. Yes. No 5 to 6 month action plans.
Just because you action?
Don't. Yeah, that's like non-action plan.
Deactivation plan.
The sleepy action plan.
Nice.
That's the kind of action that takes you into the unemployment line.
Exactly.
What do you know?
And that was the point of the story.
Do you have another severance sort of blooper for us, Mimi, or something else now?
No, I'm still employed.
You're still employed.
Thank
cool.
you.
Shortly.
All right. Very
cool.
Much
longer,
one of the most famous IT-related bloopers I can recall recently from getting fired is actually that trail of rotten IM breadcrumbs left by former Congressman Mark Foley. Speaking of IT bloopers, yeah, I wonder. Well, yeah, I think just about everyone inside the Beltway is now remembering that instant messaging can be archived and brought back too. And that's not just email. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just no question you have to be more and more careful
police,
about it.
Police will take IM logs to use them.
Well, IMs weren't the only thing AOL was tracking. How about we look back at the last year and that AOL user data breach? Remember that?
Oh, yeah, where they gave away all the Google.
AOL had to fire its CTO in the wake of the controversy that came from it. They basically released the records of 2 million search queries made by about 650,000 AOL users.
Oh, no.
Yeah. The researcher involved and a manager of the research project at issue also lost their jobs, so it's kind of one of those big whoops. Data miners and SEO folks, the search engine optimizing industry, absolutely had a field day because this is the best kind of information ever. I mean, Google really doesn't release search data like this very often. You can get some sense of it at Google Zeitgeist or go to the Buzz Index or do other things, but usually you just don't get this kind of granularity. But for anyone else who's interested in doing it, the logs are still out there and looking at this stuff.
Well, I know what I'm doing tomorrow.
Yeah, well.
Yes, I'm going to spend my day sifting through people's searches.
Fortunately, there are a number of blogs and sites which have actually gone through and have mined the data already, so you can actually kind of look through. What's wild is actually looking at the search strings themselves, because some of them are pretty revealing. Like, bad breath, could it be an infection in one of my teeth? An actual string.
Oh, my goodness.
Or my personal favorite, I hurt when I think too much. I love road trips. I hate my weight. I fear being alone for the rest of my life.
Were they searching for a blog?
Is this person
Ouch.
Schizophrenic?
Well, who knows?
Well, now that I've gotten that search string out of the way, here's Mimi with a story of a Novell server installation gone sour.
Neither your father nor your boss always knows best. Trouble is, the consequences of telling either one that can be harsh. So many of us, including the IT pro in this true IT blooper, follow the boss's orders and duck and cover, waiting for the inevitable disaster. At one point in his career, a technical support analyst for a major publisher did custom server designs for a large mail order company. Each of the company's Novell servers were built with a small 10 megabyte DOS partition and multiple OS/data partitions. The firm's technical support experts told this IT pro that the boot partition should be a discrete partition, while operating systems, data, and programs should have their own discrete partitions. Setting up partitions in this manner would make it easier to handle disaster recovery, restore efforts, and would segregate user data from the operating system itself. With this in mind, this IT pro used Partition Magic 3.5 to set up the initial partitions and kept the system area partitions separate from the programs and/or data area/partition. A few years later, as a network support specialist, this IT pro was in charge of setting up a Microsoft Windows NT4 server. My network administrator insisted that there was no need to keep system and program data on separate partitions and that I recombine the partitions on this 95% configured server. Although he strongly disagreed with his administrator's directions, he followed them, largely because the deadline was looming. Once again, he used partition magic. The already partitioned drive, set up per my previous experience with NetWare, was reconfigured by combining the partitions using partition magic, he said. You know what's coming up next. A disaster happened. Because the server's boot partition was not set up as a discrete partition, the recovery restore process was horrible. No defragmentation program would efficiently defragment the HDD in question, he said. After he left the company, he heard that the response of the server was so poor due to the partitioning issue that it was eventually stripped and reworked from the ground up. As a result of his experience, he vowed to bite the bullet, so to speak, and wipe the HDDs or array and start over from scratch if the situation ever arose again. There may be other ways to repartition drives/arrays on the fly, such as growing the partition through Win2000's disk management snap-in, but the experience has made me very wary of this. He concluded the story with this moral: if you need to play with the partitions on your disk, consider formatting and reinstalling or restoring information system to clean hardware.
Thanks, Mimi. Hannah, can you tell us the story of a nice IT guy that almost finished last?
This true IT blooper proves that nice IT guys may finish last, but their charm can keep them from getting the blame.
Definitely not. Not in his case.
Yeah, exactly. All right, we'll call this guy Bill Ebmer. Ebmer once worked as an IT expert for a large government agency that provided IT consulting services to other agencies. One day, he visited the data center of a favorite customer to handle a routine task. Ebmer had helped this customer with operational work for 3 years, and his work there had always gotten rave reviews. In fact, he got along famously with the data center staff. His task? Preparing a new disk on an IBM virtual machine operating system. Ebmer knew the formatting procedure by heart. He simply had to log on, attach the disk as a virtual disk, and format it. So, Ebmer logged into the administrator account that had the system disk attached as virtual disk 123. Then, I detached 123, attached the new disk as 123, and started to format it. Soon, an unrelated problem arose, so Ebmer had to log off and use another account to resolve it. When that was taken care of, Ebmer logged back on and reissued the format command. A few minutes later, a deathly quiet descended upon the data center. The system had shut down. Could it be a disk error? Not knowing what else to do, Ebmer called an IBM repairman to fix the drive. The repairman could not find any problems with the disk drive. Then, the IBM rep couldn't locate a boot record when he tried to restart the system. When he said there was no boot record, I got this thinking feeling, Ebmer admitted. He realized that he had skipped a step when formatting the drive. He had not attached the intended drive in place of the normal system drive. Fortunately, we were able to do a standalone restore of the system and get it going quickly, Ebmer said. Ebmer didn't expect the customer to give a glowing review of the day's work. He was wrong. Because Ebmer had always been such a nice guy, the data center's operations staff wrote his accident off as just another power failure. So be nice to your customers.
Yeah, you better be nice to your customers. Did you hear about the AOL rep who wouldn't let the guy cancel his account? And they actually have a script that they read from.
Yeah.
Unfortunately for one AOL rep, they actually had a blogger who did it. And this guy maintains a blog. That's why it's a blogger. He taped the conversation. Unfortunately, the guy kept him on for about 5 minutes, going and going and going. So
that's a really long time when you're just trying to cancel your account.
Yeah, so apparently it takes this fellow. This guy's name is Vincent Ferrari, and he actually timed the whole thing, 21 minutes to try to cancel the thing.
Are you sure that's his name?
Vincent Ferrari. That's it. You can even find out at his blog, which is insignificantthoughts.com. You can find a posting of this thing. Dig.com put the recording, you know, way up into the stratosphere really quickly. YouTube also helped to distribute the call playback. Someone posted the video from Ferrari's appearance in the Today Show, which also had some of the call playback on it. The AOL rep gets fired. VP of AOL, who's in charge of customer service, issues a letter, and Mr. Ferrari manages to cancel his AOL account.
I want to hear this.
And they lived happily ever after.
Yeah.
The end.
Well, you can hear it if you go onto YouTube or insignificantthoughts.com. All right. So the last story today is about the paper chase. That's, again, for the Domino geeks out there, because I know you're listening. The following story is true, and it happens to me being this Domino developer, and I'm going to tell this in the first person. So when I say I mean him.
Wait, can you go over that again?
I think you got it.
Okay.
Can you explain it in smaller syllables, words?
I had the task to lead our 10,000 users through the process of extending their IDs.
10,000?
10,000 users.
Wait, 20,000 or 10?
Because we are still in R4, the process required some manual interactions from the user, such as manually creating the safe ID and then sending it to the central certification authority. The step-by-step documentation was about 4 pages long. It had some text, screenshots, and some formula buttons. The instructions asked the user to first print the document on paper so they could easily get through the steps on the screen. Here are the steps, and listen closely. Close all your open documents before you continue. Click on the button, Create Safe ID. When asked for the administrator's address, enter XYZ, and so on. With these instructions, about 800 users a day managed to extend their ID without any problem. A couple days after we started the exercise, I got a call from support saying the button I created doesn't work for a user. Support didn't want to be bothered, so I had to call the user and get him sorted out. So here's a transcript of the conversation with the user. Hi, this is support. You reported a problem with extending your Notes ID? Oh, yes. See, the problem is that I keep pressing your button, but nothing happens. Nothing happens at all. Is your mouse working okay? My mouse? Oh, yes, no problem with it.
That foot pedal?
You mean I should use the mouse to press the button? Yes. Use your mouse to navigate to the button and then press the left button on your mouse to activate the button in the document. And I thought that was it, but... Aha! 1 second, please. Still doesn't work. So the mouse is in the button, and when you left-click it, nothing happens? All right, try this. Close that document, restart your Notes client, then go back into this document and try again. Sounds of irritation. How am I supposed to close this document? Hit the escape key until you're back in your Notes workspace. How should pressing escape close this document on my desk? On your desk? Yes. You asked me to print the document, so it's laying on my desk now.
Oh, my God.
Let me get this right. You got our email, printed the instructions, put the document on your desk, and tried to press the button on the piece of paper? That's exactly what you asked me for, and that's exactly what I did. Alrighty, sir, I think I can help you now. Go to your computer, open Notes, and find the document we sent you. Gotta love user error. I remember clicking around in 2001. CNN had actually exposed a bunch of obituaries, which they'd pre-written for people they thought might die at the time. People like Dick Cheney, Nelson Mandela, Fidel Castro, except they hadn't died yet. So they posted them, people found them, and of course,
thought everybody was dead.
Yeah, good old user error. Gotta love that. That concludes the first episode of True IT Bloopers. Would you like to hear more? Share your bloopers by writing to editor@whatis.com or go to trueitbloopers.blogspot.com and record your True IT blooper on the My Chingo player there. Please come back and try us again for the next episode.
And don't forget to email in your bloopers
and see if we read them.
I'm Alex Howard.
I'm Hannah Drake.
I'm Mimi Yeh.
We'll see you next time.